any type of phone, like corded phone, like office phones, the little squiggly cable that goes from the base to the handle.
The cord?
Yeah. If that, I guess I said it that way because I didn't want to mix it up with the cord that goes into the wall, right?
Oh, okay. Okay, I understand.
When that cord gets tangled up.
Oh, no. Yeah, you have to take
drives
that.
Drives me nuts. Like, I got to unplug it. You have to stretch unroll, it out, yes.
Bring it back yep. together and put that yep. back in. These drives kids will me never nuts. Know what it was like to have a 15-foot cord in your kitchen. And, you know, when you go talk to your friend, you would take the phone and you would walk around the corner so they couldn't hear you.
You could but take you the phone from like, the kitchen into, like, the garage. It was so long.
100%. You were attached by that curly cord.
Just Diet Coke? Okay. Okay. How's that keto going?
I filled it up too much.
How's that keto going?
I had a great whoosh today. So, this is a topic great what? That you can appreciate.
A great what?
Whoosh. A whoosh. Is
that the band thingy?
No.
What is a whoosh?
No, not the band and not the spray oh, that's a clean stuff either. No, you know when you're doing the keto diet, like you know where you like feel that thing where you're like, okay, I'm going to lose weight this week.
Yeah.
But in your body's like, haha, joke's on you. You're right. Going to lose a half pound, then gain a half pound, then lose a half pound, then gain a half pound. But then all of a sudden you lose like 2.5 pounds.
You had that 2.5 pound loss?
I did. I had a whoosh. Nice.
So then you're drinking bourbon to celebrate?
I drink a little bit of bourbon every night. I know I'm not supposed to. I'm failing at that.
Didn't you make like one of your 27 videos yeah. so far been about yeah. like not drinking anymore?
Yeah, I've done really well on lots of the videos, but that one is not one I can say I'm proud of.
Yeah. Well, the next 5 should be good. So I'm excited for that series, which will be out.
All those today.
Yeah, which will be out and available by the time viewers listen and watch this one.
Well, it'll be weeks ago, right? Because we got a few of these in the can.
We don't know when it's going to come out, but it'll be there on the YouTube.
Here's what really happened. So the 60-day challenge is actually quite hard. Mm-hmm. And I found myself a few times just recording like what I cooked that day, which is great. I like those videos. They're pretty fun.
Yeah.
But I need something kind of like this podcast where I can have an off day and have mm-hmm. something ready to go. So I sat down today and I did like 6 shorts all about exposure, indie filters, like there's just like stuff all over my desk.
Yeah.
And my plan is, well, it was going to be tonight, but now we're talking. So now tomorrow's ruined, is I need to put together like 3 of them. Right. And then like get those all set as releases and then still record something those next couple days. So mm-hmm. I can, you know, have a little buffer.
I think what you're doing is giving a little bit of a sneak peek insight to what a lot of content creators do, which is record now and post like 6 months from now. Well, and it's hard to like, so I've always known that, right? But lately what I've really noticed it on is some of like Peter's videos. Like he's still doing videos from his Iceland trip, which happened, you know, a while back. But it also goes to show like how much content you actually capture in that moment, right? He did videos on like drone footage, on scene footage, Leica footage, 35mm camera footage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's, yeah.
Well, and I guess it's interesting. I tried that. Like I tried to, when I was doing things, like capture a whole bunch of B-roll so I could use it later. But you have to have a pretty, well, either a great editor like he has, or you have to have a pretty good idea of what your story is there. Because a video of some onion being cut doesn't mean much for the next thing unless you've got a plan for it, which I didn't. But it's I get it. Like the content creation part is really hard because you just want to live your regular life sometimes and not have something to talk about. By the same token, it's 60 days, right? So I've got to be able to figure it out. And what I haven't done yet that I'm really anxious to do is the Peter Maddie Hapoya video, right? The true vlog, like. Record for 6 hours of a day, different things I'm doing and stitch it together in one little 10-minute video. I just haven't been brave enough or maybe free enough to do that. But the overall part of it's pretty fun. The hard part is just like, okay, so I did the magic one, right? And when I do that, I have to shoot in 30 frames a second or else the video from Ecamm is really choppy, like how it pulls the game video. And then I shot those shorts. And I realized that one, I was shooting in landscape, two, I was shooting in 30 frames. So, okay, fix that. and like the constant changing back and forth. I realized the other day I shot a whole bunch of slow-mo footage. I never freaking changed the shutter. So all that slow-mo was at 50, 1 over 50, and it should have been at 1 over 250, which, again, Peter Lindgren changes his shutter and just ratchets it up for everything and never uses an ND filter. I don't think it's tragic, but it definitely is a, it's hard. It's a hard skill. I'm not great at this.
Yeah, I find myself doing a lot of mental memory recovery, I guess I should say, every time I pick up my camera. Right. It's like, okay, so because I don't shoot every day. And so when I grab my camera, especially if I put a different lens on it, it's like, check this, check that, check the focus point, check the white balance, check the picture profile, everything, right? Everything. And so it's, yeah, I mean, eventually we're going to get to a point where it's just muscle memory, but obviously that takes a lot of practice.
Well, and some of it is not necessarily needs to be muscle memory. I'm actually going to do it right now. I just realized. So we had all this like hour setup because I was trying to use this software to record the pod.
You were.
And I couldn't remember the settings. So I literally just took a screenshot.
That works too. And I was going to actually, I was going to mention that, like write it down and take a screenshot. I didn't remember
to do that of like, or I need to leave myself like, you know, how some photographers, I used to watch McKinnon and he would talk about, he would write like 50 on the lens cap of the 50 millimeter.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what the hell needs to do that? Like you can look and see the right lens. But the truth is, like, there's so many little things that everything you do that takes away one potential risk of screwing it up is really important.
Yeah. And it's about time.
Although, what's fun is, okay, so you've seen this Defender, right? I'm going to give away a part of the video. I didn't know. I learned this today in recording the video. So I keep, you know, unscrewing this, right?
Right.
ASMR, ASMR.
It's not how that works.
I think it's how it works. Whoops.
And that is not how that works.
So I screw it on the camera, and then it's got the lens cap on, right? Uh-huh. And I pull the lens cap off.
Sure.
And this I just throw in my bag.
Right. Doesn't that just screw on the back of the lens cap?
I didn't know. It goes on the front of the cap. Yeah.
Yeah.
It becomes another lens cap.
Huh.
I didn't know that.
What's your biggest pet peeve?
My biggest pet peeve is when someone stops before or after getting on or off an escalator. Oh my God. I work in a mall and you and I go for walks about once a week, right? You'd say we get a little 10 minute walk in and Jesus criminy, when you're walking up to an escalator and there's a 50 person family that is spread the width of the mall and they all need to get on the escalator, but they haven't decided yet if they're going to go up the escalator. So they stop, or maybe even worse, someone rides the escalator and they get off and they just stop at the top. Like there's people coming on a moving belt. And by the way, like I think the average human is not good at escalators. I think I've just learned that in general. People are oddly afraid of them. You watch like grown adults that like can't step on them. So you're like also doing it in a place where people are at risk and like kids where someone could get trapped in there and actually hurt. Oh my God. Don't do that. If you are that person, this is my short this week. Don't be that person. Stop it. Change. Evolve.
There's so many things about people in malls that drive me crazy. The escalator is one of them.
Yep.
When somebody's waiting for an elevator
and
the elevator gets there and the door opens and you just walk in like as if there's nobody in the elevator that needs to get out.
Right.
Like let people off first. Right.
If there's people in the elevator, they're getting off.
Correct. When you're walking down the hallway in a family or group and you guys decide to go wide single file and take up the entire width of the hallway. And then you just walk like you've got no purpose in life whatsoever. You just like slower than a casually stroll and just like no fucks given. Right. Yep. People are coming. People are behind you. Just. No cares whatsoever in the world.
Yes, I'm going to add. I get when it's busy. Sometimes there's no choice, but I'm talking about when it's not busy. You are one person and you sit at a four top in the food court. what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, unless you want some random stranger to come sit next to you as if it's a community table.
You know what? Maybe that's what I should do. I think that's the play is I'll just sit next to them.
My thing is I don't like people enough to do that.
No, I wouldn't do it either.
Yeah. I'd rather just go sit in my car and eat if that was last table.
Nothing is worse than like barefoot people putting their feet up on an airplane. I mean, that's like the end all be all.
That is bad.
That's the worst.
I agree with you, but it doesn't happen often. For me, what's worse is when people cough or sneeze open mouth. Like you're in a public environment and you just cough or sneeze wide open mouth, no covering whatsoever. Or even worse, I guess, than what I thought was the worst is when you sneeze in your hand and then you like just happen to like want to shake somebody else's hand. Like, I'm not touching you. That's gross.
That's rough. Speakerphone in public. That one's rough.
FaceTime in public or video chat.
I don't mind that.
But like some people only video chat.
Yeah,
why?
I'm okay with that.
But at least wear some headphones. Everybody's got Bluetooth headphones.
I know, but I'm gonna give them that one because.
So you don't like when people speakerphone in public, but it's okay if they're on a video call on speakerphone in public.
Yeah, I don't know why one bothers me more than the other.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Also, when you're on speakerphone, but you hold the phone up to your head as if you're not on speakerphone.
I think that's the part that bugs me is they're just using it wrong, and it's not their fault. But I just really can't hear. That gets me. It's an old George Carlin joke, but I just think the answer to the question of biggest pet peeve is the freeway. The George Carlin joke is, why is it that everyone goes faster than you as an asshole and everyone that goes slower than you as an idiot? Because I get on every morning, right? I take the same route every day. Obviously, most everyone does. I don't know why I said that. But it's like I drive like 48 minutes, right? And where I get on, I need to do two things. I need to get all the way to the left and go to the carpool lane, right? And people will not let you in, which cracks me up so much. Because you're like, what are you doing? You're going 5. Do you think getting one ahead of me is going to do something? And then in the way our freeway system in Arizona works, there isn't any real traffic. There's like pockets of a little traffic. And so I'm going down the freeway. I'm in the carpool lane, moving at a moderate speed. They're all going slow. But then it opens up for everybody. And then you would think that I am a horrible human for going only 85 because there's always a dually behind me that wants to go 113. And you're like, what is wrong with you? Like, why do you drive that fast? I don't want to go above 70.
In general, on the freeways, I don't like when, okay, if you're going to miss your exit, it's not the end of the world. You don't need to cut over 4 lanes, cross the Gore area just to get off at that exit. Just
get off at the next exit.
Because the next one is a mile away.
Exactly.
Just save some lives and go to the next exit. When there's traffic, and you are, like, it frustrates me so much when people, like, are gunning it, veering in and out, just to end up behind somebody else in traffic because nobody else is moving. Like,
well, right.
If you just come up to me really fast, and I have nowhere to go, what do you think I'm going to do? Do you think I'm going to, like, rear-end the person in front of me so you can keep going? You're going to slow down.
Well, and this is the best, you know, old man get off my lawn. But I remember I was at an old friend of ours, David's house. And he was quite a bit older than us when we knew him, right, when we mm-hmm. worked for him. Mm-hmm. And it was late at night, and a guy came barreling through the neighborhood. And he picked up a rocket and threw it. He was so mad at this guy. And I remember thinking, like, calm down, don't get in any fights. And now that's me. Every time someone barrels through my neighborhood, I want to follow them home and, like, knock on their door and tell their parents. Because I'm so annoyed at anyone in a residential neighborhood or even a moderate, like, residential street. Like, the one by my house, the speed limit's 40.
Yeah.
People do 60 there, 70. Like, you're going to kill someone. What's wrong with mm-hmm. you? Mm-hmm. All to get to work, what, a minute faster?
I like to say this is all Arizona, but I feel like it's the same anywhere
you go. Oh, no. Everyone thinks that where they live, like, oh, the California drivers are the bad ones. Like, everyone's bad. There's everybody's good bad. Drivers.
That's correct. That is correct.
I mean, I would say what I would say about California and New York is because the type of driving is so aggressive, mm-hmm. they're probably better drivers, mm-hmm. but they are riskier drivers.
Yes.
Like, in New York, I mean, every bumper is smashed. Well,
it's just a different type of driving, though.
It is. It's totally different.
I think what gets really dangerous is when somebody who, for example, doesn't know how to drive in New York tries to drive in New York.
Yeah.
Let this be a lesson. If you go to New York, just don't drive.
Yeah,
there's
don't do that.
So much don't public rent a car. Yeah, just use just public transport.
Take the subway. Okay, so I have a different question that's related to that question. Is that okay?
Yeah.
What do you think is a pet peeve of someone else, but you definitely just do it anyway?
Ooh.
Like, what's the thing that you that, like, it's your
I know it knows somebody else? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Like, do you leave the toilet seat up? Like, what's the thing that you do that you, like, I know that probably bugs people?
Nope, I don't leave the toilet seat up. I think, okay, so just thinking about my home life, I think one thing I do that probably annoys Jill is I have OCD, right? To the point where, like, if she, like, cleans my office, I will know it, or because, like, one thing is just in a slightly different spot.
Sure.
Right? Just move, like, 2 degrees. And so I'm constantly, like, moving things back to, like, the perfect place they should be in. And I feel like that probably drives her crazy. She doesn't say anything to me about it. She just kind of laughs or whatnot. But I know. Like, it's just, I'm becoming Rain Man without all the knowledge or the stutter. So I think that's one. I get road rage. Because previous conversation, stupid drivers on the road. And so I think that probably drives her crazy when she's in a car with me. She's always telling me to calm down.
Do you get outwardly mad at them?
I just get frustrated at people. Like, for example, if you're in the HOV lane and you're going 65.
Right.
Get out of the way when somebody's behind you. Just rule of thumb when you're driving. It doesn't matter how fast you're going. If somebody is behind you and they're going faster and you can get out of the way, get out of the way. The only exception I have to that is if it's HOV hours and I'm in the HOV lane and you are either not an EV or have multiple people in the car, I will not move for you. And I know that's just me being hypocritical of what I just said.
I mean, aren't all these?
But also, like, you don't belong in that lane. It's not your time. It's my time. And I don't drive slow. I drive 80 to 85, so I'm not driving slow. But, yeah.
Mine is really dumb.
Yeah, what's yours?
I don't know what's wrong with me. I might actually need to see a doctor. I cannot put ice in my cup without dropping a cube. I have like 100% fail rate of like, I'll grab a handful of ice and a cube guaranteed misses every single day. And I'm, like, pretty coordinated. I have decent hand-eye coordination, but here's the part. It's going to so piss you off. I will never pick up that cube. I let it melt and evaporate.
Seriously?
I have no interest.
That would drive me nuts,
It makes Lindsay so mad. She's like, wipe up the cube, and I'm like, it'll melt. Like, I don't care about water in any way, shape, or form on tile floor.
Why don't you just scoop ice up with your glass?
Do what?
You have an ice bin, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you just scoop it up with the glass?
I'm sorry. Did you not work in a restaurant? Why do I not do that?
Well, in a restaurant, you have a scooper, and you don't use your hands either.
Why don't you ever put the glass in the ice?
Well, because it could break, but you're putting your dirty hands in there.
Basic lesson. This is why you wash your hands. Work in a restaurant.
Buy a scooper. Why don't you just buy a little scooper and put it in your ice bin?
I, to this day, still say corner when I come around a corner, and I stay behind when I walk behind someone. I was ingrained with things that are not going to change.
Well, the difference, though, is that if you break glass in an ice bin in a restaurant, you're dumping out, like, 50 gallons of ice. Your little 17-cube ice bucket in your fridge is easy to clean out, especially since you seem to drop half of them on the floor every time.
No, just a cube every time. I mean, it is so often that I actually am a little concerned.
Skinny fries.